Hey, welcome back to the FS Podcast, episode 49, Flight of the Lions. I'm your host, Brian.
Johnny.
And hey, I'm back from vacation. I made it off the rock, safe and sound.
Hug me again.
Anyway, so so last week you guys had a shortened episode with our review or talk about the black hole. This week we are going to talk about some newsy bites, some fun stuff. We're going to talk about Voltron, Legendary Defender on Netflix, and we are going to continue Disney Sci-Fi Month and talk about Flight of the Navigator, which I watched last night. Anyway,
oh, you did?
Before we get started,
I haven't watched it for months.
I was in San Francisco last week, which is why you guys had the short episode. I did not see Nicolas Cage, Ed Harris, nor Sean Connery on The Rock, so I was disappointed.
William Forsythe?
Nope. No John C. Whatever, Dr. Cox, no Michael Bean.
From Scrubs.
Anyway, but I did
Tony
go.
Todd.
No, Tony Todd. Dude, if I saw Tony Todd, I would run because he's the Candyman and the voice of Zoom. Anyway, but no. While I was there, we were staying in Pleasanton.
Yeah.
And I got you something.
Oh, okay.
So Johnny's gonna open something. It's wrapped in a preacher bag.
Oh, cool.
So, Johnny, being the good friend that he is, anytime I say I'm going to go somewhere, I always get a list of the local comic book stores, which I typically have looked up as well, but I missed this one.
Yeah.
So, I went into Heroes and Villains comic book store in Pleasanton, California.
Actually, where you were staying.
It was actually right around, it wasn't too far from where we were staying.
That's pretty awesome.
It was an awesome little shop. I found Kanan Jarrus and Ahsoka Tano's Black Series figures, which...
Yeah.
Were great, a great little find.
Put a picture of them up on the page.
Fun thing to bring back. But yeah, the guy who ran the shop was in there, who's cool. They've been open for 6 years. If you are listening and you're in the, you know, Pleasanton, Dublin area, definitely check them out. They are a great shop.
Cool.
All right.
Put a link to their store.
I may just have to do that.
Yes.
Okay, so let's hop into news because... it's been about 2 weeks since we actually recorded, and a whole bunch of stuff happened. We're not going to talk about everything, but I think the first thing we need to talk about is the untimely passing of Anton Yelchin. So, if you haven't heard, you must not have a Facebook account, because it's been all over.
Yeah, it popped up on Sunday afternoon. I thought it was a joke at first.
Yeah, it was. It seemed like it was like one of those gags, because he was just on a podcast not too long ago that I listened to.
Oh, really?
And everything, and... He seemed like a very sweet man, and, you know, nobody has anything bad to ever say about him. I loved him in Charlie Bartlett. I don't know if you saw that movie or not. He was one of the better parts of the Fright Night reboot or remake or whatever.
Yeah, the remake.
He was a great checkoff.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he had an unfortunate car accident with his Jeep Grand Cherokee, which apparently is a known issue.
Yeah.
And so hopefully Jeep does something about this and
it's a shame that
gets their stuff together. And it does. It's a shame it takes somebody dying, no matter who it is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so RIP, Anton. We're going to miss you.
Yeah.
So they canceled a bunch of the Star Trek Beyond stuff they were going
to
do.
Yeah, there was supposed to be like a big promotional thing this week? Or
yeah,
week?
I think it was this week.
They canceled that, understandably. I mean, you know.
So
yeah, all the his family of crew were really stunned.
Yeah, I mean, you know, John Cho had some great things to say, and you know, even Chris Evans. I forgot he was in a movie with Chris Evans, and so Captain America. So
was he?
He wasn't in Captain America.
No, but he was.
Yeah,
in
he was in something
with Chris
Evans.
I didn't know
that. And I can't remember.
Well, I didn't know
off
he was like
right
Willa
now.
Holland had put something up on her Instagram, and it's like, you know, he's been all over.
Yeah.
The first thing I remember him ever in was in, there was a miniseries on Sci-Fi Channel called Taken.
Yeah.
Wasn't the Liam Neeson.
Right.
Steven Spielberg presents Taken.
Right.
And he was a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
And that, but he played like some alien half-breed kid, and he was really good in that.
Yeah, he was a great actor. So.
Yeah. Definitely a loss. I mean, you know, obviously Star Trek will go on and probably write him out and that, but, you know.
He went... off to the great beyond or, you know, he's got his own ship and he's on a 5-year mission. So.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
It's just a sad thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame to start off on a bummer, and then we're going to continue with a bit of a bummer is the Justice League movie news that came out this week.
Yeah.
Was it yesterday? Day before?
2 days ago.
2 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still in vacation brain, so I think today's Thursday.
It is.
So the only reason I know is because you're sitting across from me.
True.
So Justice League, the Zack Snyder Justice League movie, which is already behind the eight. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he was
directing. It's already behind the eight ball because he's directing it. But they announced that Superman is not going to be in the movie necessarily as Superman, but as a villainy character, maybe the second villain.
Maybe. The main villain, Steppenwolf.
The main villain is Steppenwolf, which if you've seen any of the stuff that they put out with the deleted scenes and things like that, he had a scene on the Kryptonian ship with Lex.
Oh, really?
Which they put out literally the Monday after the movie opened.
Oh, that was where he's the message or whatever?
Yeah, it was the little, like, pixelated, like, thing. But, yeah,
I'll see it when I get that. You know.
Yeah. I watched it on Facebook because I, you know.
I'm mainly buying that for all the special features.
Well, and Jenna Malone is not Batgirl.
Okay.
So she's not Barbara Gordon. She's just some throwaway character. So it doesn't even freaking matter.
Yeah. That's just because Zach worked with her. Sucker Punch.
Yeah. So she's a great actress. She was awesome in The Hunger Games. She was in a movie called Saved with Mandy Moore.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is hilarious. Yeah. And Susan Sarandon's daughter.
Yeah.
And Macaulay Culkin and Patrick Fugit. Yeah, Eva Moore. And Patrick Fugit from Gone Girl and...
he's going to be an outcast.
Almost Famous. What?
He's an outcast.
I have not watched that yet.
He's playing the
first three to watch. But did you watch?
I did not.
Okay.
No. I just know he's playing the main character.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. Then I'm definitely going to watch. Moving on, Supergirl News. They have their Superman.
And their president of the United States.
And their president. So Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, will be their Superman.
No. No,
she's going to play the president of the United States, which is cool. Hopefully they'll get her daughter on as Wonder Woman.
That would be cool.
That would be an awesome little throwback. But no, Teen Wolf star Tyler Hoechlin?
Hoechlin, I think, is how he pronounces it.
Is going to play Superman.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because he's about 4 years younger than Melissa Benoit.
Oh, is he?
So,
okay.
You know, I mean, he looks like he could be older looking, because she looks really young.
All right.
I mean, anyway, but, the response has been overwhelmingly positive. I have never watched Teen Wolf.
Yeah, I've never watched it either.
Mainly because I stopped watching MTV when it stopped being music television.
Ah.
And started being Jersey Shore television.
I heard the Teen Wolf's really good. I've watched Scream, the first season of Scream, and if it's anything like that, then, you know, definitely probably worth checking out.
But just definitely something worth looking into. You know, some other news, Star Trek or Paramount, I guess, today released the guidelines for the fan films.
Yeah.
And you're none too happy about
it. Yeah,
this.
Well, it already, I read it and I'm just like, they're killing everything at this point.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't understand that. Especially when they're not making money off of them.
I think the problem is they're not making money off of them.
No, I mean, the people who make them aren't making money off of them.
Oh, no. And I think the problem is CBS is not making money off of them and they want to.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but, you know, it's like CBS is making money off of a new series that'll be on their CBS...
Their streaming app.
Streaming app.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, they make part of the profits off of all the merchandise because CBS is part of the Paramount Viacom family.
Right.
And it's one of those things where just let these people have the fun that they're having.
Yeah.
Leave them alone.
They're not hurting you. They're helping you.
If anything, Disney will go... You know what? You can do Star Wars fan fiction and you can do whatever you want.
Just not the expanded universe.
Well, you know, that's what they'll do. They'll say you can do the Legends universe.
But, yeah.
And I mean, you know, loosen the reins up a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, that's a Paramount thing.
They've
always been, like, you know, I mean, that's why it's the old people's network.
Right.
Like, thank God Supergirl is off of that network.
Well, right. That's...
So, yeah.
Whoever's operating the CBS division needs to pull the stick
out
of
their
ass. Isn't
that Les Moonves?
If it is, then he's really like an idiot because he knows Star Trek's profitable and he knows that the fans will make or break it.
And he's a super old guy too. So,
yeah, well.
And then I guess some other comic book news is DC already announced the first Rebirth crossover between Batman Detective and Nightwing.
That was expected.
It didn't take long. So yeah. I thought they'd at least have all the Rebirth books out before they'd start crossing over.
Yeah.
So now that being said, I've picked up, well, Nightwing hasn't come out yet. I got the first two issues of Detective. I liked the first issue. I got the first issue of Batman. When I was at Heroes and Villains, because I forgot to put it on my list for Queen City Comics. I liked it.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
I mean, they've got good writers on all the books I haven't read. You know, I picked up the first issues of Detective, and I haven't read them yet. So. But, I mean, they've got strong talent on it, but it's one of those things where, you know, unless editorial keeps their nose out of everything and
we'll see.
Lets the books be the books, you know, that they're meant to be, it's going to be just a clusterfuck.
Yeah,
you
but
know, excuse my language, but...
So Night of the Monster Men will start in October, and will go through Batman 8, Nightwing 6, and Detective 942.
And I'm curious if this is the Monster Men that was...
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. It starts with Batman 7.
Oh, okay.
Nightwing number 5, Detective 941, and then ends in October with Batman 8, Nightwing 6, Detective 942.
Yeah, but it's Monster Men. I'm curious if it's the Monster Men from the Matt Wagner miniseries.
Yeah, there's solicits for the first three parts. So, those are all three books I'm currently getting right now. So I imagine it'll be something I just check out just because I'm getting those books. And then in other comic news, IDW released the character designs for Mask.
Mm-hmm.
Some big changes. Some characters are missing, like Hondo wasn't on there.
Well, I don't think they showed everybody.
So. Yeah, I'm hoping they didn't show everybody. But the big change is Matt Tracker is now a black guy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you care?
Not much, no.
As long as the character is done right, it doesn't matter. I mean, he's not tied to being a white guy.
Right.
You know? That being said, do the character right.
Right.
You know, he's...
If they do it the way that when they discuss the book coming back, that he is a cross between Elon Musk and Idris Elba.
Yeah.
You know?
Fair enough, man.
I mean, Idris Elba in person is kind of a kick-ass person, and it's like Idris Elba plays kick-ass characters. So it's like, if they're thinking along that lines, then, you know.
It's so funny you mentioned Kick-Ass. Another book that is having a race and gender swap.
Oh, yeah?
Kick-Ass. They're going to do another Kick-Ass series.
Okay.
Except for this time, it will be a black girl playing Kick-Ass.
Yeah,
Millar announced that yesterday.
Is it going to be Kick-Ass 4, or is it going to be Kick-Ass?
Kick-Ass 1. It's a whole different series.
Okay.
It's like the way
inspired
I...
by...
Yeah, the way
the
I understand it's inspired by the other character, and there's going to be a new Hit Girl.
That's cool.
Who I believe is Asian.
Okay.
So if I remember that correctly...
with Millar, you know, there'll be some kind of twist to it.
It'll be like Dave's daughter or something.
Yeah.
There's
I think the Millar World Annual is coming out too.
Yeah,
where it was that contest of writers and artists.
Yep.
So
yep,
to
see
cool
who gets
to
write an actual story.
Yeah.
And then lastly, Rogue One, we got the character descriptions. And we found out who Mads Mikkelsen, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Who he's playing.
Yeah.
Who, more importantly, who Forrest Whitaker's playing.
Right. Ties to
and
Clone Wars.
And if you are a fan of the Clone Wars cartoon, it was one of the better Ahsoka arcs.
I had to go back and check the character because I couldn't remember the character that well.
He's one of the ones that stood out because he was so militant.
Right.
You know, which... In Clone Wars, like, obviously it's war.
Right.
And you get someone who is as violent as he was, that kind of sticks out, especially in Star Wars.
Right.
It fits.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's going to show up on Rebels at some point.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, that's where they'll tie that together.
And then today, James Earl Jones officially is going to be the voice of Darth Vader. Oh. So
he's been doing it for Rebels, so
wouldn't
he do it for Rogue One?
Why not, right? But so lots of cool new stuff has been happening. I picked a bad week to go away.
Celebration Europe's in a couple of weeks, so there'll be news coming out of there big time, I'm sure.
Yeah, Joe posted something about that not too long ago. But your buddy Joe Caroni.
Yep.
So who has some really cool prints on his Facebook page right now to check out. All right.
Con exclusive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen that. I didn't tell you showed me that at Gem City.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he had it on his, I think he has a Cintiq.
Yeah.
And he had it on there. And that's he was cool. Like, you want to see this? And it's like, it was not even halfway done. But I'm like, okay, that's cool.
All right, so before we get into Voltron and Flight of the Navigator, just real quick, you watched the Battle of the Bastards?
Yes.
You're caught up, right?
Yes.
Until the finale next week.
Yes.
All right, we're not going to go real deep into it because we're going to wait a week and we're going to talk about the entire season. We're going to, a week from next Thursday or next Friday, we're going to talk about Game of Thrones season 6 in its entirety because we don't want to spoil too much. I just got to say, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching it for the second time on the plane ride back.
Oh, okay.
And the lady behind me in like caddy corner, like tapped me on the elbow. And she's like, have you watched it already? And I was like, oh, yeah, this is my second time through. And she's like, that ending, though. And I was like, heck yeah. And I was like, hey, do you want me to, like, keep it over here so you can, like, keep watching? Because I was just watching on my iPad mini.
Right.
And she's like, oh, would you? And I'm like, yeah, no problem. Like, she didn't get to hear it. But, right. Like, you know, she got to see
it. You don't
it.
Need to hear that.
No.
Best episode of the season.
That battle. Like,
yeah.
There is a 10-minute making of documentary that was awesome. I highly recommend you guys go watch it on the HBO Now app.
Okay.
It's probably on the HBO Go app too.
Right. It's but, probably on all their stuff.
It was so cool. And, you know, there was a lot of things about why Ghost wasn't in the episode.
Oh, they do explain it?
Well, it wasn't in that, okay. But they had the interview and they only had so much budget for a CG character because well, Ghost sure. is actually all CG. It's right. not an actual dog.
Yeah, I knew that.
And they had to decide if they wanted to do 1-1 or Ghost.
Yeah. 1-1 made more sense, and Ghost made more sense to leave at the wall with
right.
The guard.
Yep.
Because Ghost could take out White Walkers pretty
yes,
fast.
Yes, he can without being turned into a White Walker himself. Right. So, but no, if you haven't watched Battle of the Bastards yet, highly recommend it.
And it wasn't just that, but that the whole scene thing, with, the thing with the dragons.
The scene with Daenerys and Yara
yeah.
was great. Like, they like have a little like shipper name. It's like Danyara or something
yeah.
like that now.
Just the whole thing with the dragons and actually seeing them in action.
Seeing the three nearly fully grown dragons
yeah.
in action was great. Seeing Daenerys become a queen, become
oh,
the
yeah.
person who will rule the world. She had a great line to Tyrion and he's like, well, what's your plan? And she's like, I'm going to track them down. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to burn their cities to ash and move on.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, your dad was an evil bastard. Right? and she's like, oh no, I'm in control. But,
yeah.
And then at the end of their
part. Yeah,
she
pretty much was like, I'm not insane. She yeah. knows that her father was mm-hmm. an insane king. And it's like, she's pretty much
but
telling
you,
Tyrion,
you,
I'm
you,
not crazy.
You look at how she's, and just like the way she has combined across the narrow seas, right? With the Dothraki now,
oh,
the
yeah.
city of Meereen, and like, you know, now with them getting rid of the Masters and bringing in the Ironborn, at least the Ironborn rebels.
The Greyjoys.
She's gonna be someone to deal with. Mm-hmm. Just real quick, this isn't a spoiler because it's a prediction. And if you guys have listened to this show about Game of Thrones, my predictions have been famously wrong this
yeah.
season. Cersei's going to blow up King's Landing next episode
you
in
think?
The finale. Because all that dragon fire is down there. Or yeah.
You think she's going to blow
Wildfire.
Up King's Landing or the Sept?
Well, it's all under King's Landing, so...
Is it still all under
yeah,
there?
It is still all under there. Because Qyburn found it, too.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think you can just blow part of it up.
It'll all go.
It'll all
yeah.
go. So, but yeah, it's going to start with the Sept, and she's going to kill Tommen. That's my prediction.
And yeah, I was talking to somebody at work about that, and I said, you know, it's funny that one son was totally crazy,
mm-hmm.
like off the handle crazy. The daughter didn't have any like craziness to her.
No.
And I said, and this son's got the subtle craziness.
Yeah. Well, he's just naive and stupid.
Yeah,
that's his crazy.
But the thing is I think he's just being manipulated.
Well, yeah, because he's naive and stupid.
Right.
But in the books, so in Dorne, the
yeah.
women are the ones who rule. Like
right.
they're like
the matriarchy.
Right. And there was a point where they tried to convince Marcella to go back to be the queen on the Iron Throne.
Oh, okay.
And it was really interesting, but because she's still alive in the book. So
okay.
Anywho, all right, Voltron, legendary defender.
Yeah.
I've watched the first four.
Okay.
You watched the whole.
I did watch
which
the
is
whole thing.
Kind of the opposite of how we normally are.
Yeah.
Um,
well, I had I had a co-pilot who, you know, it was...
Did she like it?
Oh, yeah, she liked it. So, she said, she literally, like, we're sitting there watching it, and she finished it, and she's like, I need to pull out the DVDs and watch all the old stuff now.
I think it's all on Hulu.
She's got it all.
Yeah. So the Kidbot 07 is further along than I am.
Okay.
She loves it.
It's awesome.
I, like I said, I only watched the first four because I had other stuff I had to watch right. for today. And we've been gone.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, the art studio Amir is killing it.
They're the people who did Last Korra Airbender and Korra.
And Last Airbender.
Okay.
You know, the voice acting is spot on.
Yeah.
Tyler Labine is great as Hunk.
Hunk.
You know, the little twist with Pidge.
Yeah, well,
makes perfect sense.
I figured it out before they revealed it.
Well, because it's a...
It was the... It's
spoiler alert.
It's a female actress.
But it's a female actress. And, yeah. and like, you know, when they showed the picture in her head,
yeah.
and they're like, oh, that's your boyfriend? It's like, no, that's her, and that's her brother.
Yeah.
Like, that made sense. Before yeah. any of that was revealed.
But,
so.
Like, even the first episode, I'm like, that's yeah. not a boy.
Yeah.
I'm literally like, that's not a boy.
No. But hey, it, even when they paid it off, it yeah. made sense and it was cool. You know, Zarkon looks cool. Oh, he looks way different.
Zarkon looks very cool in the last episode of the season.
Okay, I'll yeah. definitely check that
and
out.
And there's a big twist with him too.
The lions, the five mini lion bots that form into one big bot.
Yeah.
You know, to quote Deadpool. awesome. Like they look so cool and the fact that they're temperamental.
Yeah, that they they're conscious, yeah. I guess, in a way.
Yes, sentient.
Yeah, literally but. when what's her name, the princess?
Yeah,
warns them the red one yeah. is kind of
he's temperamental. He's a bitch.
Temperamental,
but he's like, the bitch. But yeah, no. Steve Yeun is great.
Yeah,
it's Keith. It took a little bit of like, and it didn't take long, but it took a little bit of getting used to for Keith not to be in the Black Lion.
Yeah.
But Shiro
yeah.
is awesome.
Yeah, and Shiro's replacing Sven.
Sven.
Yeah.
Who died in Voltron. The,
yeah,
in the original.
The original Voltron.
In like the first couple episodes. And that's why the princess was in the Blue yeah. Lion.
And no spoiler, Shiro does not die in the first season.
And Lance is now in the Blue Lion,
mm-hmm.
who was in the Red Lion
right.
previous. So.
And he's great.
He
great
is
comic
awesome.
Relief.
Yeah.
Great comic relief.
Anytime he's flying, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Because he's just a crazy guy. So
there's a lot of cool stuff that happened. I mean, I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Well,
but...
I mean, so here's the thing. They're not the Voltron Force.
Right.
They're paladins.
Right.
Because they were chosen by the Lions, which is a great change. You know, they were pilots or they were trying to join whatever the Federation version of their
world.
Yeah,
the Earth Force.
The Earth Force, thank you.
Which means we'll get Vehicle Voltron.
No.
God, no, I think, in all honesty, if they do a Vehicle Voltron on this show,
yeah,
I think it'll be the same kind of looking design, but
sure.
I think they'll come up with a better idea of why.
He's not going to have the pointy head.
I think he will have a pointy head.
Bastards.
Well, the pointy head was a rocket. So it literally was a rocket ship that, you know, linked in. But I'm like,
I
think they'll explain more why they're doing, why they do it. Because
sure.
Earth Force is the one who's going to obviously build him.
Yeah.
And
But yeah, I'll definitely finish it this weekend
yeah.
when I have time. Maybe tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah, you'll have to let me know what you think of Zarkon.
Okay.
What he is.
I have been very much a fan of what I watched. And I was bummed I didn't get to finish watching
yeah.
it for today.
It's really like a cool series because of the fact that they use a lot of the stuff from the original series, but they have added a twist. Like the dark magic is really
uh-huh.
dark magic.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So it's like the technology is there, but there is dark magic.
It's
being
like
used.
Techno magical science.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, it's using everything well.
Yeah. And I even like said that there's some comparison to the newer Thundercats cartoon they did.
That's what I was
yeah.
thinking too.
Yeah, it felt like there was a lot of vibe of
that. I think
that
might have been Studio Mirror as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I can check. But anyway.
But it
yeah.
just the way the story flowed and, you know, there was every episode was an episode, but it had a bigger story to it. And that's kind of the way the Thundercats flowed too. And, you know, by the season finale,
right,
you're like, okay, I want more.
Yeah.
Like 11 episodes was not enough.
And it's a 1 hour premiere episode. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Which counts as two. So, but yeah, it's,
well, it's a cliffhanger.
Yeah. So, but because I think that it's already picked up for second.
I mean, these cartoons aren't cheap to make, but it can't be as expensive as some of the live action stuff that Netflix foots the bill for, like the Marvel stuff.
And right.
What they do, what Orange is the New Black and all yeah. that.
I mean, what was it? House of Cards is like $13 million an episode.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's like for a little cartoon, it's probably not $13 million.
But, yeah. But no. Yeah,
the whole voice cast, I mean, with Tyler Labine, Steven Yeun, Bex Taylor.
Yep.
I can't remember. Jeremy Shada is playing Shiro, I think.
And then Rhys Darby is the princess's guy.
Yeah. Which he's comic relief, too. So it's like when you get him...
Do you know who he is?
No.
So he's a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
He's hilarious. He's on Out at Midnight a lot. He had a great like guest appearance on Modern Family when they went to Australia.
Okay.
He's just so funny.
Yeah.
Well, and to see him in this role is great because he totally, anytime there's tension, he comes in and says something stupid, but not like stupid. It's just funny.
It's, for him, it's like unintentionally funny because for him, it's something that he's just knows. Because
he's like, you're not going to eat.
And these, they're all like, these five guys are from Earth. They don't have any idea what they're dealing with.
And he's quite the warrior in his own right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I think Zarkon is Neil Kaplan, who played Megatron at one point on one of the Transformers cartoons. And just the way he does the voice is like, okay, you know, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great. Studio Amir did not do Thundercats.
Okay.
But they did do the Guardians of the Galaxy shorts when they did the new Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon for Disney XD. They did the shorts that were on YouTube and stuff. And they did the Boondocks.
Well, it's just a perfect mix of traditional animation and the CG.
Oh yeah.
The lions and Voltron, I mean, are really pretty awesome.
They're 3D, which is cool.
I love that Honks looks like a truck.
Yeah.
The yellow lion looks like a truck. And that was
the cool thing. It's like this is the one that's the most powerful and it's slow, but it's
like they all have their different strengths.
I'm a leg. But
as soon as they become Voltron, it's like all the power is just
So, but it's not just into one, it's into that being that is Voltron. And you know, the sword is cool.
Yep.
The little getting rid of the little keys in favor of the little gauntlet things is really neat.
The shield off of the wings in the back.
Which it's like, it makes more sense why they're there. Yeah. Yeah. So I think the sword was probably KB07 and I were like, the sword.
But even the creatures, like they're all unique looking.
Yeah, well,
and that, but they're based off of somebody that Shiro fought, and because that's literally what they're going after Shiro because they had him as a prisoner, and he was like one of the greatest warriors,
and he's got his Bucky arm, and so I can't say enough good stuff about this, you know.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where it'll go in the second season. I'm kind of hoping they might do the Voltron introduction.
Yeah. Oh. In a time long ago. Actually, you could probably grab that. We could play it. Right. So, but you know, it's just really good. Like I didn't expect it to be bad, but
no.
So our buddy David actually got to interview Joaquin DeSantos.
Oh, really?
Who is the executive producer. He directed a lot of Avatar The Last Airbender episodes. He was a producer on Korra. So he has a lot of experience with Studio Amir. So he actually talked about how they were able to do one whole story.
Yeah.
Which was great because, you know, with Korra, I don't know if you remember how much changed with Korra.
I didn't get to see the last two seasons. So, but there's that. Yeah, you can tell the
So the production the of shifting. Korra. Korra was supposed to be one season.
Right.
And it did really well.
Right.
And then season two, the first half of season two, because they decided to make it a 54 total episode run.
Right.
Studio Amir wasn't available for the first half of season two of Korra.
And you can tell the difference.
And the artwork is not there. And then they also introduced Unalaq, who is one of the worst villains in the history of animation. He's just bad. Like, not good at all. So, you know, it kind of... Actually, where it turned around was actually an episode, a couple of episodes with Steve Yeun, where we saw Juan, the first Avatar.
Right, yeah.
Which is then Studio Mirror came back on board.
Yeah, I think I finished season two, and then I watched like maybe the first two season three episodes.
So, and then season three aired, and it did fine, but they kind of like, it aired intermittent, and then they just like burned them all off. But season three is my favorite, because Henry Rollins as Zaheer is one of the best villains ever. And then season four, they just did all digital.
Oh, okay.
And it just aired every like Saturday, or I forget what day of the week but like it just went live on Nickelodeon.
Okay.
And it sucked because they brought it back. If I weren't such a fan and didn't like keep track of the stuff and didn't have like, I had a Korra alert back then.
Right.
I would have missed it. Like a lot of people just missed it. They didn't know it happened. You know, I mean, David and I like kind of kept each other in the loop of what was going on.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to see these creators who are so good at telling story to get the ability to say, okay, we're going to do all 11, 13 episodes, whatever it is, before it airs.
Right.
So you can tell your entire story.
Well, yeah. And like I said,
and it's all going to go up on the same day.
It's a one arcing story. But each episode is its own story.
So this is how Game of Thrones does it, too. The entire season is shot before it goes live. Like, President Obama gets, like, the whole season, like, the day the first one goes out.
Right.
Because, you know, fair enough. He's president.
Of the United States.
Yeah, that's a perk, man. That's the only reason I'd want to be president, is I get to see Game of Thrones before everybody else.
Oh, the Star Wars movie just finished? I get my copy, right?
Yeah, right here.
You got that Blu-ray ready for me, right?
High Def
Digital. Spaceballs 2? Yeah, I got that.
Blu-ray, speaking of?
Yeah.
Batman v Superman, crap of crap?
Yeah.
100 gigabyte file.
So what does that mean?
It means if you were to download it, it is 100 gigabytes.
Okay, but like if you're watching it on a Blu-ray player, it won't affect your Blu-ray player
at all. Let's hope not, but like...
That's what I'm afraid of.
If you have a really old Blu-ray player, it's probably not going to play.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we're talking about Voltron. We're not talking about crap movies by crap hack directors. And David Goyer.
Have they announced when the second season's coming on?
They have not. I have not seen it. They may have, but
probably
I have not
San
seen
Diego.
It.
They'll announce it at San Diego.
But yeah, so... I don't understand why more of the TV series, especially the children's programming, is not following this Netflix model. Like The Dragons, right? How to Train Your Dragons.
Okay.
It's a Netflix series. They put them all out. They do like a couple times a year. They do 8 episodes at a time now. Turbo, the snail movie that Ryan Reynolds was in. They have a cartoon. Every couple months, they do 8 episodes.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, they come on, kid loses her mind. She watches them all in like a day, and then for the next 3 weeks, watches them over and over again.
Do you think that they should stagger and do like 2 episodes a week type thing?
So on Netflix, no.
No, you don't think so?
No, because we have been conditioned to binge watch Netflix. Okay. Now on like Hulu, there's a show I watch called Casual.
Okay.
And they do 2 episodes a week.
Okay.
And that's great. And like Hulu can get away with that. Like the Mini Project. It's just one episode
like
11, a week. 11,
22, 63 was every week.
Now, see, I go back and forth with that one. Like I would have liked to have binged that, but I liked waiting.
Right.
Whereas like The Path with Jesse Pinkman, Aaron Paul.
Yeah.
Should have all been put on at once.
Okay.
Because that one needed to be binge watched.
Okay.
So I think it should be a case-by-case basis, to be honest. But on Netflix, no, they're never going to. Well, they did that with, what was the girl from iCarly, not Miranda Richardson, the girl that played Sam.
That show. I haven't watched that.
She had this show. It was like a sci-fi type show. And they did that one episode a week. And it didn't go over well. So
I have not watched that yet.
But like I know if we hadn't been talking about 11, 22, or 23, 62... I probably would have just waited for it all.
11/22/63.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would have just waited and watched it all at once. Like I did with The Path.
Sure.
I waited until The Path was done and watched it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be curious what it would be like to go watch that whole series as once, but I'm not going to go back and revisit it.
That's a hard one to get through.
It was rough. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Not that it's bad. I mean, no, it's just the subject matter. It's just a rough
story, yeah.
So, all right. So, yeah, Voltron, go watch it.
Definitely.
All right.
You probably already have.
Yeah. Yeah, let us know what you think about it. Contact at infamouspodcast.com.
Tell us who your favorite Voltron is.
Yeah.
Lion Voltron, Vehicle Voltron, or the three robots that form a Voltron? Ooh, you don't know that one, do you?
Giving you a dirty look right now, of course.
Do you know that three robot thing? Yeah.
Anyway.
Voltron 3.
Lion Voltron or nothing.
Okay. I say that I'd like to see Vehicle Voltron.
I hate Vehicle Voltron. Hate.
You got to watch the movie where they're both in
it. I've seen it.
It's awesome.
It's not. It has yes. the
They both form vehicle. Swords and cut stuff up. I mean, come on. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. So Disney Sci-Fi Month continues.
Yes.
Flight of the Navigator.
Yes.
I watched it last night.
Did you notice how? Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
This is so, not the movie I remember seeing when I was a kid.
Agreed. And before we get into our thoughts, okay.
Uh-huh.
This is the third one we've watched. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, I thought was going to be the one that did not hold up.
Right.
Timeless.
Yeah.
Like it looks amazing. It is fun. It is, yeah. It, you know, it's just, it is a great movie.
You can tell when Walt Disney was.
Yeah. Alive.
Had his finger. Yeah, exactly. I mean, so. You know, when he had his fingers in stuff.
Yeah.
And definitely the Black Hole and Flight of the Navigator were not. They didn't have the heart of Disney.
So, Black Hole,
mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about it a lot.
Good sci-fi movie.
It. You know, it was. I think I was a little hard on it.
Yeah.
But I also, I gave it credit. I gave it the credit it deserved, though, because right. the costuming and the robots
yeah.
were fantastic. The sets were fantastic.
Yeah.
The acting was that late 70s acting that's just hard to forgive.
It's well, and it's just that thing that, like I said, they all the studios because of Star Wars were rushing stuff
out. It was just
out.
So melodramatic. Yeah. I couldn't get past it. All right.
There's not a day where I want to watch the Black Star Hole. Trek, the motion picture, Black Hole, Buck Rogers,
yeah,
and Battlestar Galactica. If I had to watch them all on the same day, I would choose not to live that day.
Just kill me for the day. Revive exactly. me tomorrow. Just get.
How do you put me into a coma? Because get the I prefer
red,
that.
Find me a red priestess.
Yes.
Just kill me. She can bring me back tomorrow.
She can bring me back. Yeah.
So anyway, now this one. I loved this movie as a child.
You thought you did.
Now, I'm gonna talk about the good stuff first.
Okay.
The ship is great.
The ship. Yeah.
The effects for the ship hold up.
Yes.
The practical effect of the ship with the engines and things like that hold up when it's in type one.
Yeah.
It looks amazing.
You mean when it's stationary?
Yeah, well, when it's the pointed.
Oh, okay. Like,
when so it's, maneuver when it's rocket one ship. Yeah, is awesome. It yeah. should stay like that all the time. The rest of the time it looks like an acorn.
Well, right, yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Two seashells put together.
Sarah Jessica Parker is actually hot in this one, you know.
Vaguely,
this was
yes.
before she.
This was like of, Square Pegs era.
Yep,
Jessica.
So, what was it? L.A. Story. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, that
was her at her hottest with Steve Martin.
Yeah.
So I liked her in this, and she was good.
Hocus Pocus probably was.
Oh, I forgot about that. One. There we go. Anyway, another Disney movie, right?
Yes, exactly.
So, I will say this, the kid, there's a reason he didn't work after this movie.
And why he's in jail now?
Is he in jail?
Yeah, you didn't hear about that?
No.
Oh, well, yeah.
You can tell me about that in a second.
Let me ruin your childhood just a little bit more.
He was awful.
What's his name? Joey Kramer?
I think that's Kramer. Right.
Yeah.
So, but David Freeman, 12-year-old boy abducted by Pee Wee Herman in a spaceship, which great. Casting
yeah
with Paul Rubens
and it was before he was
yeah. really Pee Wee. I think he'd done the play or the Broadway stuff
yeah.
whatever. I can't do the Pee Wee laugh, but
oh, you mean that huh?
Yeah, there you go. The kid was awful. Like
no, you want to know what was more awful than him was the kid playing his little brother.
Oh, as the little brother.
As the little brother.
The grown-up version of that kid was cool.
He's somebody. I forget who he is.
He's been in a bunch of stuff.
He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, it was just... I don't know. I enjoyed watching it for just the nostalgia factor of it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, how? I mean, it was 1986? The movies were better than this in 1986.
Not Disney movies, though, I guess.
I mean, like, you compare this to The Last Starfighter, another 1986 movie.
Right.
The Transformers, the movie, the animated, another 1986 movie. Those were great.
Well, this was another one where they were... Disney at this point was just grasping at straws, I think. You know, because they were in danger of being bought.
Oh, okay.
And that, so it was one of those things where put out the money, you know, got to make the money that you got to make. And kid movies were popular, and this was their E.T.
Okay.
If you think about it.
Yeah. I don't know. E.T. was my E.T., so. But,
well, the whole in the woods thing
falling
down.
So,
and,
but,
you know, we threw in the time travel thing just to make it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
So. But I just want to get home.
Yeah. So Joey Kramer is a Canadian former child actor who had a briefly successful career in Canadian television and Hollywood in the mid 80s, most notably his role in the cinema film Flight of the Navigator. And. Yeah, it kind of doesn't go.
Let me tell
you. He has two credits past.
One
he has
was
a couple.
TV.
He has something in 1996 where he's uncredited. And then, it's a bunch of TV stuff. Right.
He probably showed up on an episode of Murder, She Wrote at some point.
You're right, he did. So,
because everybody showed up on Murder, She Wrote.
He was in season 3, episodes 1 and 2, Death Stalks the Big Top.
Oh, Lord.
As Charlie McCallum.
I was going to say as Dick Grayson. The Big Top.
Yeah. Anyway, he did receive...
Jessica Fletcher's as Batman.
Well, hold on. He received a Saturn Award nomination in the category of Best Performance by a Young Actor from the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films in 1987 for his performance in Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah.
How bad were the other kid actors in 1986?
Did he win or was he just nominated?
He was just nominated.
Well, is there a link to see who the winners were?
You know, I could probably find it, but it would take a while.
1987,
I'll tweet it out. Yeah.
Saturn Awards.
So anyway, I'll find it. But so do tell about his,
so this happened,
his incarceration.
This just happened recently. Like, you know what? I came up with the idea of this month and then it happened afterwards. So it was like in the last 2 months, he tried to rob a bank.
Nice.
He had worked at a sports store or something in Canada, whatever city he was living in Canada. And I guess just, you know, life's hard when you're, you know, just trying to get by and everything. And he tried to rob a bank.
Alrighty.
Yeah. So I think he's still in prison right now. Just that arrest picture is right up there with Tim Allen's arrest picture.
That's
not looking pretty at all.
That's pretty funny. All right, so 1987, he's not listed in the Wikipedia rundown.
Huh.
So, let me see.
Does it have
It's 86, sorry.
Winners?
So, no, okay. So, the winner was Carrie Henn from
Carrie
Aliens.
Henn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it was
her
him.
Only role, too.
Yeah. It was him in Flight of the Navigator. Lucy Deakins for The Boy Who Could Fly.
Oh, okay.
Scott Grimes for Critters.
Nice.
And Jay Underwood for The Boy Who Could Fly.
Nice.
Now, if you go to 1987, Kirk Cameron won for Like Father, Like Son.
Okay? Wow.
Scott Curtis for Cameron's Closet. Stephen Dorff for The Gate. Andrew Grauer for The Monster Squad. Corey Haim for The Lost Boys. And Joshua John Miller for Near Dark.
Wow.
Like... The level of talent between 1986 and 1987 were like crazy,
you know,
different.
I remember seeing The Boy Who Could Fly, but it's been so long that I couldn't even say.
But
I think that was a Disney movie too.
Like if you even go back to 1985, Barrett Oliver won for Daryl.
Well, yeah.
Of course he should. Daryl was an awesome movie. Farooza Balk, I think that's how you say
Farooza.
It.
Farooza
Balk was Dorothy for Return to Oz.
She played Dorothy Gale.
Yeah,
I think that was a Disney movie too.
Yeah. Anywho.
Hey, at least it's nice to be nominated.
It is nice to be nominated. But yeah, I don't know. The spaceship holds up. The whole idea that NASA has a smart robot that can deliver mail and food and abscond with a child through
was
security checkpoints.
Too?
What?
It was Howard Hessman.
Yeah, he was the from head of the class.
Yeah.
Well,
it was between WKRP and head of the class.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I always forget about WKRP. I didn't watch a lot of that.
Dr. Johnny Fever.
Yep. But yeah, to me, he was, because I watched every
episode. Sure, yeah, he was class. Mr. Moore.
But yeah. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Like, you're over here.
I watched it
a
few months ago, and I was just like, dude.
Did you rewatch it for?
No, because
you purposely left the DVD with me.
Yeah, I did. I did. I think it was just one of those things where I was like, I don't want to watch it again. And I bought it just for the whole thing, like you said. It was the, that was a cool movie.
I love that
movie. And I hadn't seen it in years.
I mean, I remember that was like a go-to rental for us.
I bought that years ago and didn't watch it when I bought it. It sat in the DVD book, and I pulled it out like when I was thinking about this whole do a Disney sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I watched it, and your wife...
Yeah.
Said, oh, cool. And I went, no, it's not.
Well, no, she was the one. Because I
did she watch it?
No, I watched it by myself because I've tried to get the two of them to watch this movie since before we started talking about this.
Yeah.
Like, I almost bought it on iTunes.
Oh.
I'm so glad I didn't.
Yeah.
But I remember this movie was a go-to rental.
Yeah.
Like, pre-Blockbuster, right? Yeah. It was go to the video store. It was always in stock, so that should have told me
well,
something.
Well, because E.T. was out of stock. That's why.
Well, yeah. Well, that... And The Last Starfighter was always out of stock.
Exactly.
But, I when the Disney Channel first launched, this movie was on ad nauseum. You know, I mean, there was probably a solid time
as a kid, I could see this movie being a fun movie.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that, he gets to fly in a spaceship. And
he gets to fly the spaceship.
Yeah. But as an adult, I tried to watch it through the eyes of myself now.
Right.
And what I liked about it as a kid, and I'm just like, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
I just was so tired of his whining at a certain point because it just turned into this whine fest.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If the robot would have went, hey, you want some cheese with that wine? I would have been like, yes!
But
yes.
Like, from, I'm going to say...
The effects, this is another one where it's like they put the money into it. They got some decent actors on the adult side.
Yeah, like his parents were,
I mean,
they're both.
Yeah, Veronica Cartwright, who was an alien and was, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, the
dad, I forget the actor's name, but like he's always like the bad FBI agent.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
He showed up in FX.
Yeah.
But it's like.
Yeah, he's always like an assassin or
you get like
crooked
decent
cop
adult and, actors, including Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at that point, she was, you know, probably 22, 23 years old, I would guess.
Cincinnati's own Sarah Jessica Parker, by the way.
Yeah.
Ohio Mafia represent.
Just one of those things where, you know, I don't know. Disney's cast some worse kids than him.
They have. Oh, yeah, they have. Yeah. But just his delivery and, like... You know, the little brother had maybe like five or six lines, right?
And it was just,
they were torture.
Drop him in the water,
and the pushing up of the glass thing. It's like, how as an older brother did you not just beat the crap out of that kid?
Yeah.
How did you let him sneak up on you and scare you?
As
an older brother, you're an older brother. Like, you let us down, dude.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah. The little siblings took a beat down if they did that kind of stuff. Yeah.
But.
No, it's just, it was... It's,
no, but the special effects do hold up.
It's the thing where it's like, you know, and Disney puts money into their movies like big time. But it's like, you know, nowadays when they do it, they have stories.
This movie could be remade.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it would not, I would not have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Because they could remake it and do it better.
Yeah. Well, right. And it's the funny thing about it is you could remake it now, still make it where it's 1978 when he's... You know, a kid, but then jump it even
to
further
now.
Ahead
yeah.
to now.
You know, where his parents are like in their 60s.
Yeah, where his brother's got kids that are his age.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be.
There would be just some cool stuff that you could do.
Well,
there.
And I mean, that's where you throw in the whole thing of he's got his brother's kids are the ones that help him break out of NASA.
Right, yeah.
Sorry, Disney, we'll write the movie for you.
Space Camp has got to
you
be involved.
Get Paul Rubens?
Yeah.
Back?
Yes, Max.
Yeah.
So, it could, you know what it could be? It could be David's kid.
Oh, yeah.
That he, you know, gets. And,
yeah.
You know.
A Flight of the Navigator sequel?
Yeah.
Okay. No.
Reimagining.
No.
So.
Just keep doing Pirates of the Caribbean movies, Disney.
It's the only way Johnny Depp can
and
make
Star
any
Wars
money.
Movies.
So, speaking of weird Disney movies, I saw part of Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull the other day.
Sorry.
I've never seen it.
That's not really a Disney movie, but...
Well, it is now, but...
No, it's a Lucasfilm
It's
movie.
A Lucasfilm, but... I did not realize Shia LaBeouf was his son with...
Yeah, yeah.
What's her name from Animal House?
Marion.
Yeah.
Karen
Allen.
Allen.
But
I've met her.
I remember when this movie came out, I convinced my mother-in-law that Shia LaBeouf's character's name was Kentucky Jones.
Kentucky Jones. God.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So on this scale of what, 1 to 5?
This is the bottom of the pile.
The bottom of the
like,
pile.
Like as hard as I was on the black hole.
Yeah.
Like nostalgia is not enough to pull this movie
right.
through.
Yeah, and you didn't have the nostalgia factor with Black Hole.
Not the Black Hole.
That you had with this.
No, and I mean, I had that nostalgia factor with 20,000 Leagues.
Right.
Now, of course, I remember the underwater parts more than anything right. else. Like, I did not remember the cannibals, you know? I had forgotten that Kirk Douglas was so awesome in that movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I forgot that Perry Mason was Captain Nemo. Or not Perry Mason.
No. James Mason.
James Mason. Perry Mason
what
is...
What the hell? Raymond Burr
fart.
Was not
yeah,
Captain
I know.
Nemo.
And
Raymond
fart.
Burr was not in the original cut of Godzilla either.
No. Bastard. Anyway, but yeah, I don't... So, I don't, I'm looking forward
it,
to...
Did it hurt your feelings?
It didn't hurt my feelings.
It hurt my feelings.
It made me feel old.
It hurt my feelings.
It made me feel old.
I didn't feel
know?
Old.
Yeah.
It just hurt my feelings.
And, it, you know, it made me feel dumb for liking it as a kid.
I didn't feel that either.
But
I mean, it's seriously one of those things where, you know, as much as people our age, you know, people around our age are like, oh, I love this.
Right,
I love
right,
that.
Right.
You know, He-Man. And I've gone back and watched He-Man, and I'm just like, no. No, I can't. I can't even do it.
Well, the funny thing, too, is like She-Ra.
Yeah.
The most unwatchable episodes of She-Ra. You know who the writer is?
J. Michael Straczynski.
J. Michael Straczynski.
Right, yeah.
Who,
yeah.
Like,
he wrote a lot of the He-Man episodes,
well,
too.
Yeah, but like the unwatchable She-Ra
yeah.
episodes are almost exclusively him.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original He-Man cartoon, like...
I
sometimes question my taste
up.
Of
right.
why I liked that.
Right.
Because the animation was crap.
See, that, I thought so. The animation's the best part of them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Filmation did a really good job on their on their
oh,
stuff.
Oh, no, you're right. Never mind. Yeah, the animation was good in that one.
Yeah.
But, like...
But the stories, you know, I mean, some story. Of the stuff... like, they well, and it would be one good one, three bad ones? Something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think if we went and looked at all the Disney movies that were produced in the mid-1980s.
Sure.
You have to say mid-1980s.
Yeah.
Because the early 1980s is still the 1970s.
Right,
early.
Right, right.
So, like, the mid-1980s, I mean, I remember, well, Return to Oz.
Right.
Journey of Natty Gann.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's stuff where it's like...
Was Witch Mountain?
Witch Mountain was late 70s.
Late 70s. Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's one of those things where you're like, there's some really good... Disney movies in there, and then you're looking at Flight of the Navigator and you're going, why?
Where did this come from?
But
you know?
American so. Tale's the same way.
Yeah.
I loved American Tale
oh.
as a kid. I can't watch it now.
I still sing that song.
Can't watch it.
The,
cannot...
the Somewhere Out There song?
Oh, I thought you were going to go into There's No Cats in America.
No. The Somewhere Out There. I'll just yeah. randomly belt out a few bars of that every now and then.
Yeah, no.
That's
not, I mean, the song still holds up, but the
yeah.
movie does not hold up.
Okay.
For me.
Fair enough.
But it you I mean, if you compare it to other sci-fi kid movies that
right,
happen,
right.
like E.T., Daryl,
mm-hmm. Cloak and Dagger,
Never Ending Story.
Anything with Dabney Coleman.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, oh, the Barrett Oliver
yeah.
the Barrett Oliver trilogy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you look at those Return to Oz
mm-hmm.
and all that, they hold up.
They do.
Labyrinth holds up. And Labyrinth is probably one of the worst of those.
Yeah.
But it still holds up.
Dark Crystal.
Dark Crystal holds up. This one
No, not over. It doesn't. Not even a little bit.
It hurt. It hurts.
Yeah.
It does.
Like I said, it makes me question like things about my childhood, like that I liked.
Yeah.
That I haven't seen since I was a kid. And I don't want to go watch any more of it. I don't want to revisit that stuff.
I want to go meet myself as a kid now just to see what the hell was going on.
I'm going to smack that little bastard around.
I'm just going to watch from a distance.
What's that?
What's wrong with you?
Jesus, read a book.
Yeah.
Read more books.
Well, that was the
problem.
Read
enough books.
I was reading a lot of books.
I know, I
was
reading. Look, I had the novelization of this.
Oh, really? See, yeah. I did not have the novelization of this.
Yeah, I was all in.
Now we need to find that novelization and burn it.
Yeah. Good old fashioned.
I wonder if the novelization is actually better than the movie, because remember how back then,
yeah,
the movie, like the book had stuff that the movie didn't have,
right? The like, stuff that was cut out.
I can remember reading the Star Trek 3 novelization,
right.
Star Trek 2 or 3 novelization, where there's the whole parts that are not in the movie,
yeah, like the stuff that happens on Genesis where they're like finding him,
yeah,
and like he's how he grows,
right.
And when he's with Sarek. Or what, Christianity?
Savick. Yeah.
And like, you know, he goes into Ponfar at
yeah,
one
they
point.
Have,
like, and
like
that's
they,
not
they
in the movie.
They kind of cut that
Dude,
out of the
how
movie.
How dorky are we right now?
I'm just saying. It's like one of those things where it's like you want
right.
to go back and check out the novel of this.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to have to watch for it at half price.
Box. Yeah, you're going to have to look out for it. But,
because I'm just like, now I'm going to have to read the novelization and go, no, it sucks too.
Infamous Podcast Book Club.
Yeah.
Flight of the Navigator.
We're going to have a report on that when
yeah.
we find out.
Oh, God. Let's hope we don't.
Ding, 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 ding. Special report.
But,
the
yeah.
Flight of the Navigator book sucks too.
Yep.
That's all I have to say.
All right. So this week in comics, there's some cool stuff out.
Yeah.
So Civil War 2 number 2. Civil War 2 Choosing Sides, whereas Nick Fury
number 2 came out last week.
Oh, last week, sorry.
Yeah.
Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur number 8.
Yes.
Which, you know, you got to support Brandon. Thief of Thieves is back. Remember I asked a couple weeks ago about what happened to that book? happy to see that one back. Drifter number 12. Detective Comics 935. But yeah, and then you got Action Man.
Yeah.
I missed it. I forgot to grab it, so I might
it
have to
says
run
at the
over.
Top of it, Road to Revolution.
Yeah.
So I just
might have
I'd
to pop over to Nostalgia and grab that. But it's his son.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So cuz I read the synopsis like crap.
Yeah.
And then like cuz I read it after I got home and when you sent your list over. But yeah. And then the Star Wars Force Awakens adaptation. I'm curious about that.
I haven't looked
at it
yet.
I didn't get
it. The cover looks cool.
Yeah, there were a bunch of covers.
Well, you know, I just looked at the books last night.
Yeah.
I didn't look in the books last night.
And then Wonder Woman number 1 with Greg Rucka and Liam Sharp. I got that one because I liked Rebirth.
Well, you're a Rucka.
I am a Rucka fan.
Rucka
so.
Alkalite.
A Rucka light?
A Rucka light. There
so.
You go.
But yeah. And then congratulations to Cincinnati's own Dean Ambrose for becoming the WWE champion.
Oh, yeah?
At Money in the Bank.
Nice.
He won Money in the Bank and then cashed in later that night. It was awesome.
Nice.
So very few things have been cool in wrestling lately. That was one of them. All right. On that note.
It's always cool when Cincinnati's a winner.
Yep. Cincinnati's always a winner.
Yeah.
You hear that, Cleveland? We don't care that you won an NBA championship.
Nah,
we're still the winners.
We're okay with that, too, because Cleveland doesn't usually win anything.
It's like 60 years or something like that.
Did you see, and seriously, did you see the crowd?
1.3 million people, as we turn this into a sports podcast.
Well, I mean, could you imagine, like, we have the Bengals and the Reds here, and they do decent, but they don't follow through.
It's been since 1990.
Well, we'll just say they don't follow through.
Sure.
If they followed through and actually won, could you imagine? Like, the Super Bowl is in the winter.
Yeah.
It's very cold here in the winter. Could you imagine the crowd that would be downtown?
I wouldn't be in that crowd.
I wouldn't be in that crowd, but I'd be like, yeah, all right.
Actually, I would be in that crowd wearing a New York Giants shirt.
Yeah, okay. There we go.
Anyway.
So you'd be stomped in that crowd.
Well, yeah, especially with that crowd.
You'd be like Jon Snow at the Battle of the Bastards.
There we go. Man, did you have trouble, like, breathing watching that?
No.
Dude, I was watching that, and I was, like, having, like, because, like...
I just thought, when's Woonwoo going to come up and grab him out
like,
of the
being,
crowd?
Like, being crushed to death is, like, a fear.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you know, especially because when we were kids and the whole thing with
the Who
that happened here, it's always been a thing. With me and crowds. Anyway, all right. So we are the Infamous Podcast. This was episode 49, Flight of the Lions. You can find us online at infamouspodcast.com. We have a show archive there, so if you've missed any of our shows, totally check it out.
Special episodes, interviews,
bonus episodes. Yeah, everything's broken out. The interviews, reviews, things like that. We have a sometime blogger who you need to light a fire under her butt to get her to write some more cool stuff for us. You're in charge of Katie from now on.
Okay.
Anyway. and then,
Fair enough.
On Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, we're at Infamous Podcast. It's been a couple days since we posted, and I apologize. That's on me.
I did post a cool article about Star Trek Beyond.
You did. And that was a really cool, like, art.
Yeah.
On that post. I'm Brian Tudor. You can find me at Brian Tudor on, you know, everything from Snapchat to Instagram, Twitter, all that fun stuff. Reach out, let us know what you think.
Johnny Potterf's on Johnny Potterf Instagram, Johnny Potterf Twitter, Facebook. I don't do the Snap Chats.
So we were on vacation, right?
Sure.
And we went and we met some friends, and one of my wife's friends and her kids, and they're grown. They're 18, 15, and 13. And I'm sitting there and I was snapping pictures of the animals, and the 13-year-old, she's like, "You snap?" I'm like, "Yeah." And then like, I mentioned something about Instagram. She's like, "You have Instagram?" I'm like, "How old do you think I am?"
You're ancient.
So, and then I told her, like, "Well, I teach a class on this stuff."
Sure,
and she's
yeah.
like, "There's classes on this stuff?" I was like, "Yeah."
Well, she is only 13.
Yeah, so, but it's pretty funny. Haley, the Kibbot wants her to come and nanny for her next summer all the way from California. All
right.
So, anywho. All right, guys. This has been episode 49. Thank you for listening. Any last words?
Oh, no. Be ready for next week when we get on the grid.
On the grid. I watched Tron Legacy last night.
Yeah.
So, after I watched Flight of the Navigator, I just had to cleanse the palate.
Had to get rid of that memory.
And I like Tron Legacy. So, anyway.
All right.
But, all right, guys. Well, you have a great day, night, week, morning, afternoon, whenever it is that you are listening to this nonsense. And let us know what you think of the show.
Yes.
5-star reviews on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher are always welcome. Any last words?
All right. Have a good one.
Later.